This is Pam Schultz. It's February 12th at 10:28, and I'm interviewing Rosemary Davidson. We are at the First United Methodist Church in Battle Creek. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Pam.
How are you doing today?
As little as possible.
Okay. Tell me about the quilt you brought in today.
This is the first item I made after I joined the Guild, which I did in 1991. It was the 10th anniversary of the Guild, and I decided I would make an entry. They called it a challenge. You had to depict something that would indicate that it was the 10th anniversary. And I somehow got the idea of making a piece with 10 sides. I'm quite fond of irregular shapes anyway, but we found it quite a drafting concern, and I ran into some technical problems that I had help with. But for a miracle, when I finished the center star, it worked. And then I went on from there. I made it by dividing it up into like a pie. So there were 10 pie pieces that all met in the center. And I used fabric that matched the flower in the border, which was kind of a mauvey pink, and there was blue and green, and I find I do like those colors. I don't know whether the pink is because rose is part of my name or not, but anyway, I like it. And I hadn't looked at it in quite a while, and from another few years of experience, I wonder how I did it. I did not know very much about formal quilting. I just did what I liked to do, which is something. I've always been interested in needlework. I've tried them all. Made doll clothes and made people clothes and did all kinds of other stitchery, but somehow quilting is it.
What special meaning does this quilt have for you?
Well, it's the first thing that I made and entered, and I got a reward for it.
Why did you choose this quilt to bring to the interview?
Because I thought it was so unique.
What do you think this quilt says about you?
That I'm apt to tackle things that are a little beyond my skill, but so far they've turned out all right. And that I perhaps could work a little more on my color matches, but it sold me on doing handwork, I think. And I have since done almost all of the things I've made, except baby quilts or something like that, by hand.
How do you use this quilt?
It is displayed on the wall, which at home, I could wallpaper the place with things, but I don't have quite that many hooks, so we vary the display.
So what are your plans for this quilt?
Keep it forever.
That's a good
plan.
Let
my niece and my daughters fight over it.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, as I said before, I've always done needlework when I was younger, and the kids were younger. I learned to sew, actually, by making doll clothes. And then I got old enough, I was probably 10, 11, and Mother trusted me with her Singer sewing machine, which was a treadle converted with an electric motor. And I got good enough, I made my own wedding dress on that machine.
Wow.
And an article was done by Scene Magazine that circulates in our area some years later. And my brother had taken a picture of me at the sewing machine making my wedding dress, and they had used it in the magazine. And they have a staff member whose picture is displayed somewhere in the magazine. And if you find it, you call and you get a dinner or something like that. Well, my younger sister, who lives in the area, saw that. She called up and she said, "How did his picture get on my mother's sewing machine?" It was on the wheel of the sewing machine. And she got her dinner.
At what age did you start quilt making?
Well, let's see, I have to figure out how many years to go back. I was probably 60, 70 era. But as I say, I tried everything else, and this is it. I'm a slow learner, you see.
Oh, I don't think so. And who taught you how to quilt?
Mostly me.
Did you?
I did take a couple of formal classes with a couple of friends who were interested but who never pursued it like I did. And I learned some of the technical details and so on. But most of it's self-taught. Or if I run into a problem, I usually can find a friend that can give me a little bit of help. But most of the time, I do my own thing.
How many hours a week do you quilt?
I have never kept a clock. Some days, I do a lot, and it depends, too. I have been forced by accidents to not be very active outside the house, and those have been times that I spend more time quilting, probably. Once I got all the bones healed up enough to do that, I still cannot use the sewing machine. So isn't that nice that I really like to do it all by hand?
It is. That fits very nicely. What is your first quilt memory?
I don't remember anything about childhood things. And since I'm the oldest of five, by the time they'd gone down, there wasn't anything left. I did not know very much about what my mother did. In fact, I never knew she had any quilts until the later years of her life and after she had passed away. And I don't know if I know she made practical things. We had one that wore out that was made out of bits of shirt or whatever, and just made to be used and not to be an ornament.
Are there other quilt makers among your family or friends?
My next to youngest sister is a quilter, and she kind of started it, the formal part of it anyway. She ran across, this was about 89, I think. She had a quilter's magazine that was full of rose patterns. Ah, well, dumb me. I started making some of those blocks. They were appliqued and pieced and then embroidered. And here's me, I don't know a thing about what I'm doing, but I kept working. And I was doing it quilted in patches, and then quilt as you go, I guess that's what the technical term is. And it got to be a full-size quilt. And by George, it all fit together somehow. And I'm so proud of it. I don't use it on account of the cats like to sleep on our beds.
I just asked you that one. I better make a note here. I'm sorry. How does quilt making impact your family?
Well, they live with stacks and stacks of boxes. And I cannot lift sufficient to get to the box I need. So I have been known to recruit a strong male. I have a husband and an adult son, and just the other day I made him take down the 4th of July fabric and exchange it for the Christmas so I could work on the current project. So they're cooperative.
Tell me if you've ever used quilts to get through a difficult time.
Well, I think I mentioned that one that I brought that's not really anything but busy work. It was a pattern with little tiny squares, and I was making quilting projects like pillows with printed fabrics, pre-printed, and my husband was going through an operation, and I quilted a lot while I sat in the waiting room, etc. And so that got me through that. And then as soon as I got to the point I could, after my shoulder accident and surgery, etc., then I went back to it, and I missed it when I couldn't do it.
Tell me an amusing experience that has occurred from your quilt making.
Oh, I can't think of any off the top of my head. I've had a lot of good experiences with it, but I don't. Well, I've had fun with my friend Brenda when we go to quilt shows, and with other friends when we've gone to quilt shows, trying to figure out what that maker was thinking of. Either we thought the pattern was kind of goofy, or the colors, maybe they wouldn't have been the ones that we chose, but that lady chose. And I think that's one of the interesting facets, is why do people choose what they do when you never have a chance, or very seldom have a chance to ask them just why. And maybe they can't tell you, it just looked right to them.
What do you find pleasing about quilt making?
The creativity part of it. You start with an idea. You then have to figure out how to make that idea become concrete. And you look for, or maybe you have a pattern, particular pattern. Gee, that's neat. I wish I could figure out how to do that. And then once you figure out how to do it, or maybe you've run across, oh, the most wonderful piece of fabric, you've got to do something with it. And so you finally get the fabric chosen and the pattern, and then it's the execution. And as our new choir director is fond of saying, enjoy the process. And sometimes there's a little hair pulling and whatnot in the process making. But to see something grow and to know that that's you, even though you took somebody else's pattern, it's you when it's done. And I think that's another reason I like to do it by hand. I have control of the needle. Well, not always. I've got a few pricks and whatnot. But it's, and also the repetition. That's very soothing. Until you have to take out that awful long one that you made when the cat landed on your lap and stuck his claw in your leg, which has happened.
But you like to help, huh?
Very, and fabric, you know, is wonderful to sleep on, especially when it's the one you're trying to work on.
We have cats, and ours go for natural fabrics. So there's something about natural fabrics.
Yes.
What aspects of quilt making do you not enjoy?
Well, I have not done much with paper piecing. I have done that, but was so frustrating to me. And I think what really did the number on me was I took a class, and it was making a lighthouse, and the lady had brought the pattern. And the water was not just one piece of fabric, it was slivers, and paper pieced, and put together. And I found that I was not getting the instruction that I needed, plus I was not used to using a sewing machine for that, that I got very little done during the class. But, you know, my English blood triumphed, and I did finish it. In fact, I loaned it to the preacher a couple of Sundays when he preached about lighthouses, which water you'd expect a lighthouse, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
What art or quilt groups do you belong to?
Well, I belong to the Calico Quilters Guild. On a national level, I belong to National Quilting Association, as does our guild as a chapter. And then I am friends with a group that's a very informal group. We've done various things together. Right now, the group is working on hospice quilts. And my job is to sew down the bindings on the back by hand.
Have advances in technology influenced your work?
Somewhat. But I find now that I am not prone to use the rotary cutter because I've lost a lot of strength in my arm to hold the ruler steady. And unless you hold the ruler steady, you end up with zigzags. So maybe I've cut some binding or something of that nature, but I do not do anything that's entirely rotary cut. Not at the present time, anyway.
What are your favorite techniques and materials?
Well, materials, I like cotton. I've used a little of cotton polyester. If I were real desperate and I needed that color and it was all I had. But cotton works so much better. And techniques. Well, I applique, I piece. I've done, been known to put a little embroidery on. I've cheated and used buttons for centers of flowers. Did that with the last piece I did recently. I had 3 days to finish it before the deadline, so I cheated. But I used freezer paper for applique and marked seam allowances on fabric and then approximate the quarter inch, which usually comes out okay. So,
describe your studio or the place that you create, where you do your work.
Studio would be the answer to a dream. We live in a 2-bedroom, very small house. There are 3 adults. we have computers. We have radio equipment. We have books. We have fabric. We have computers in various stages of disrepair. We do have beds to sleep on. And chairs to sit in, and my only place to quilt is in my chair in the living room with a good lamp close at hand, and that's where I keep what I'm working on and try and keep the cat from sitting on it. But I have no formal room. I wouldn't. I'd love to have a whole room. But you use what you have and be grateful, I guess. At least that saves a lot of frustration.
How do you balance your time?
Well, right at the moment, I do nothing long term except sit. But I do something active, and then I'll feel like sitting down, and I'll sit down and quilt a little bit, and then I'll get some new energy and up and at them and do some laundry or fix the meals or whatever. But I try to balance out, but it's kind of difficult when, due to various things, you no longer can carry on like you used to. And you have to decide what's important and what you can lay aside, even if it's only for temporary thing.
Do you use a design wall?
Well, I'll tell you what my design wall consists of, is a piece of styrofoam, and pinned to that is an old piece of flannel, back when they knew how to make flannel that was warm. And I use that. It's the only blank wall in the bedroom, and there's no room to put any furniture against that wall, so that's what it's used for. And then I do have spaces out in our living room that I can hang at least 4 or 5 small things, which are usually what I do to enjoy, providing I can find a tall man to change them. I don't think they'll allow me on a stepladder anymore.
No. What do you think makes a great quilt?
Good workmanship, good choice of fabrics that go together, and carry out whatever idea the quilter had, providing they had provided. If you go to a show and the quilter said, I did this because of so-and-so, I think that's important.
What makes a quilt artistically powerful?
Don't ask me, I'm not an artist.
Well, I think you are. I think you are. What makes a quilt appropriate for a museum or a special collection?
Uniqueness for one thing, age for another. Something it wouldn't be meaningful in a historic sense, not to you personally, but maybe to your area, your town, your city. Maybe that was the first of this that was done in your city, or some person made something and earned a lot of money for making it, like a quilt that sells, you know, in 4 or 5 figures.
Like this quilt, your anniversary quilt. Your guild anniversary quilt.
Yeah, that means a lot to me, and it probably wouldn't mean much to a person who wasn't familiar with the history of the guild. But yeah, I like to look back at it and see, well, you did learn a little by practice.
What makes a quilt appropriate for a museum or a special... I just asked you that, I'm sorry. What makes a great quilt maker?
I want to add something to that last category. Twice, this aviation organization that I belong to asks each year for quilt blocks for a display that have to do with aviation. And for two different years, I entered a block that was, they both were accepted. I got honorable, maybe it was 5th honorable mention on the first one, which was Harriet Quimby and her Blériot, a World War I era, before World War I era airplane, consisting mostly of wire and wood, which I embroidered. That was accepted and displayed for a year in their museum at Oshkosh. And the second time, we live under the flight path of the A-10s, which were previously stationed at our airport. And you hear this loud noise and then one of our guild members' husbands was over in Iraq, and he had A-10s tied in with his service. So I got the idea to make a tribute to the A-10. I found a silhouette of one because they're rather difficult to make airplane pieces show up. But it was a silhouette against the sunset, and at the bottom was a dividing line. On one side I showed Michigan, green grass, nice river, green trees, and tents, vacation type tents. Then there was a dividing line, and on the other side was Iraq. I talked to the gentleman involved and asked him what the soil was like. He says it's flat and dirty. So I found the dirtiest looking fabric. And he described to me the double-layered tents that they used in the desert. They air-conditioned the tents to keep the guys from melting. And his wife very, very graciously cut off the badge, the squadron badge off one of his shirts that he'd worn in Iraq, and I put that on my coat.
Oh, what a gift.
And that one in fifth place. So I went up in the world a little bit. But that might not mean it's, yeah, it's an airplane and it's nice, but it was associated with our time.
Yes.
And they are the ugliest things that only you've heard the expression, so ugly only a mother could love them. But those planes, I called the thing war-tested warthog, because I've heard of instances when we had troops that were faced with a machine gun nest or some other thing like that. They called for A-10s, the A-10s come in and poof, gone. So they were very effective. So maybe ugliness is not necessarily a disqualification for usefulness.
It's true. What makes a great quilt maker?
A patient person, for one thing, because these are not things you can hurry. Except if your daughter's having a baby in 2 weeks and you haven't made a quilt, you might hurry then. But, and besides, I think Steve is right. Enjoy the process. And that's, Steve is our new choir director. I mentioned him before, I think. But there are so many steps to go through, and sometimes you run into a snag. Sometimes things are just not working. You have to put it down until you get a bright idea, or your fingers can control the needle and make it stitched straight. Can't even talk straight today. Anyway, so it's just that kind of a process. It takes time, and if you hurry, you'll be sorry.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
I like historic type quilts. I like, well, modern art quilts and done by machine are gorgeous, but somehow they don't appeal to me as much as something that is part of our past. Like, it was interesting on a project I worked on recently, tracing patterns, how old some of them were. And there was one in particular that was called the newest one that they had located. They were talking about an era from 1910 to 1935. That was the earliest one known in their area, which was in Kansas. Well, Gettysburg, Adams County, they had one quilt brought in for a quilt show or an evaluation that dated back to 1830. So it just took time for patterns to travel west with the pioneers.
Which artists have influenced you?
I don't think I can pick out a particular one. I used a lot of Gwen Marston and Joe Cunningham's patterns. They did a book together called American Beauties, Rose and Tulip Quilts. And they had done research, which I found very interesting too.
How did you feel about machine quilting versus hand quilting?
I think my attitude has come through. Machine quilting is beautiful. And if that is the way you like to do things, fine. But that's what's so nice about quilting. If you want to make quilts out of burlap bags or whatever, and you want to do that, fine. We're a rather broad-minded group of people. And I can enjoy things that I would not enjoy doing myself. And so I think we have people in our group that have done absolutely marvelous work. And I admire them for that. But I feel that a machine between you and the product takes away some of the uniqueness and something of the what makes it your work.
What about long arm quilting?
I've seen some beautiful long arm quilting, but frankly I can't afford it. And also my projects are usually small enough to be hand quilted. And so I've hand quilted. I don't have I think I can truthfully say that I do not have any machine quilting as such. I can't afford to have it done. It's beautiful, but I'm not in that big a hurry.
Why is quilt making important to your life?
Gives me something to do besides with my hands. My reputation in this church, among the ladies especially, is that when we had more active women's groups, I never was without something to do with my hands. It was knitting, or maybe I was working on a quilt thing, and I kept myself awake during meetings by doing that sort of thing. I find my hands need to be doing something, and maybe I'll stave off arthritis if I keep on doing it.
In what ways do your quilts reflect your community or region?
Well, I don't know if this area is any different from most other areas. We are a less historic area than the East Coast. So we do not go back as far in history as the East Coast does, in quilting as in anything else. But I think the fact that Michigan is a mitten might be influential. I did something for, I don't remember which one it was now, I made a quilt and it had to do with Michigan, and I put the shape of Michigan as the label on the back, along with a pin. It was, I don't know, had a robin on it, the state bird and whatnot. And some quilts have been inspired by it. We have pine trees and robins and apple trees and things of that nature that people have used in their quilts.
What do you think about the importance of quilts in American life?
Well, it certainly is not what it used to be. Quilts were made in the first place oh, a sort of quilting, back as far back as the age of chivalry, when they wore all that clanking armor, and there was some kind of quilted, padded stuff that they wore underneath, and they padded their curtains around their beds just to keep from freezing to death. And then, of course, the pioneers had to use what fabric they had available. Much of it they did themselves. They grew the fibers and spun it and wove it and everything. So now quilts are used more as art, and they are being treated like art. You don't take them on a picnic, or let the baby crawl around and spit up on it, or the dog. Or I hope I don't offend any dog owners by that.
In what ways do you think quilts have special meaning for women's history in America?
It was something that they were almost expected to do. It was acceptable for women to quilt, but to do other things was not acceptable in the eyes of the men, who were the controlling factor in the situation. Women who started their own business or did something outside the sphere of domestic duties they had a pretty hard time of it. And so I think that quilting now is not a necessity. It is something that a woman can do and enjoy and have a lovely product to use and expect that it isn't going to be worn out right away.
How do you think quilts can be used?
Well, it depends on what kind of quilt it is. If you make one out of delicate fabric, like they used to do with the crazy quilts, you put it on the top of the piano. And if you make one out of old jeans, now you let the kids take it on a picnic. So a quilt can serve a lot of purposes, and you make the quilt suit the purpose.
How do you think quilts can be preserved for the future?
One thing is that they must be appreciated. You don't think of them as that old thing that you use and throw away. And you put so much of yourself in them that if something happens to that, you feel diminished. Part of you is disregarded. You aren't appreciated. And boy, that is a hard feeling. A lot of people, I think, suffer from that in this modern day and age that causes more difficulties. Quilts should be appreciated for the purpose for which they're made. If they're going to be art, then fine. If they're a little more practical, that's fine.
What has happened to the quilts that you have made, or those of friends and families?
Well, I cannot speak for the quilts that I have made for my nephews, nieces, great-nephews and nieces. They probably have been worn out, but I know they were used. I've made them for wedding presents, and I hope that the recipients have treasured them. One of the first pieces and one of the first contacts I had with the Guild was that my niece Sally was getting married, and I wanted to make her something. And so I got a book, and I think it was It's Okay If You Sit on My Quilt or something like that, and I made the quilt for her wedding, and I had a question about it, and at that time the guild was quilting a raffle quilt in a public place. So I took my piece and went up and, well, they can help me out with this. So they said what I was doing was just fine, and I finished and gave it to her for a wedding present. And she came back some years later, and she was very vehement that my quilts should not be thrown away. If something happened, she wanted to see them kept in the family and treasured. So I thought that was the way it should be, that it should mean something to your family.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
Time is a problem. Materials are available, I mean, much more so than they used to be. There are time-saving techniques if you are in need of those things. But I'm still kind of old-fashioned.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or bring up?
I can't think of anything. Maybe you have something you're curious about. We don't know each other all that well.
Well, we will.
We will. I definitely feel better acquainted after this.
Thank you, Rosemary.